Lawrence obviously is famous for his line diet. Can you tell me what dietary recommendations were like when you arrived at King's?
Yes, the dietitians were very important, and I think Lawrence should be given tremendous credit for his lion and then portions diet. And the 10-gram portion system, which it's based on for carbohydrates, has stood the test of time and indeed has come back to some extent with the carbohydrate counting that is now done for type 1 diabetes. It was rigid. It was too rigid, maybe. And we would like a much more flexible diet and a flexible insulin regimen, which we've learned to adapt. But the fundamental ability to look at or weigh, if you wish, the actual food and to get the right amount of carbohydrate was taught very strictly at King's, and that is indeed all based on Lawrence's own work. I noticed in the paper recently that the sugar content of bread has gone up. Now, whether the two-thirds of a standard slice of bread still is 10 grams, I shall have to go on a refresher course to find out. But that's the sort of information that we learnt at King's and has stood me in good stead the whole of my life.
And what kind of insulin were you using in 1958?
Well, basically, it was the soluble Lenti and Isophane. I suppose the two things about the insulins of those times, which was so tiresome, firstly, the having to mix soluble and isophane insulin in a syringe and to get the proportions, which is useful to be entirely flexible, but a very tedious business. And the other thing, which is knowing your four times table. I mean, everything in marks on a syringe, and the two different strengths, 40 units per mil and 80 units per mil, with the occasional 20 units per mil if you wanted it, but basically absolutely a minefield for mistakes. And mistakes were made. And, of course, administration with these glass syringes that you boiled up and needles that, well, I don't think our patients often sharpened them, but they were awful big thick needles. Which were, the whole thing was dreadful. Spirit proof cases and the ability to move over to newer insulins and newer delivery systems has been a tremendous revolution, and indeed makes insulin much more acceptable. First of all, the delivery systems going on to disposable syringes was a great move forward, and these are still around and useful, but then the John Ireland with his introduction of the insulin pen, again, is fantastic. And the ability just to be able to have that simple little thing in your pocket or handbag and dial a dose and in it goes without any problem. Well, I say no problems, of course there are problems, but no problems compared with what it used to be like. And then the different sorts of insulins. We've gone through the highly purified insulins, the monocomponent insulins, and now these genetically derived insulins, which are fantastic. I suppose we've waited a tremendous long time to get away from the isophane Lenti duration, the long-acting insulins, to a more satisfactory one, and the more recent introduction of glargine and insulin Detemir has been a great step forward, and we've had to wait a very long time for that basal insulin to be got right. In the early days, it wasn't as a student, but as a postgraduate, there was ultra-lenti, ultra-tard introduced, and that was a good long-acting insulin. And that's what the UK prospective diabetes study was based on, long-acting ultra-tard. But that wasn't available as a student.
You mentioned that mistakes were made in the measurements of the first insulin. Do you have first-hand experience of those mistakes?
Well, I can't remember precise details, but you can imagine that the patient got half or double the amount of insulin and that this is quite serious, and mistakes were made. It was awful.